Leadership isn't a one-size-fits-all proposition. In The 9 Types of Leader, James Ashton reveals that successful executives fall into distinct archetypes that shape how they wield influence. Drawing from hundreds of interviews with global business titans, this framework explains why certain leaders thrive in specific environments while others falter. The book has become essential reading at top business schools, with LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman noting how different markets, organizational cultures, and industries require different leadership styles. Whether you're aspiring to lead or trying to understand those who do, these 9 profiles offer a powerful lens for decoding the complex psychology of those shaping our organizations and institutions. The boardroom falls silent when an alpha enters. These leaders build empires through determination, focusing on scale and long-term dominance rather than popularity. Nestle's Peter Brabeck-Letmoth commanded 339,000 staff and $60 billion in sales, extending his vision beyond food into nutrition and healthcare despite criticism when small is beautiful became fashionable. This leadership style extends to personal habits. When illness prevented Brabeck-Letmoth from flying long distance, he became a helicopter pilot. Yet alpha power creates dangerous dependency. When Lord Arnold Weinstock retired after 33 years building GEC, his successor's disastrous pivot into internet equipment during the dot-com bubble collapsed the company. While traditional alpha leadership has declined in many industries, technology has revived the archetype. Investors now back visionary alphas like Zuckerberg, Bezos, and Musk, who retain unprecedented control. Fixers, by contrast, are business emergency surgeons. When Dame Moya Greene joined Royal Mail in 2010, she faced her hurry-up moment, possible payroll failure. With the institution battling collapsed letter volumes, union revolts, and financial chaos, Green approached the challenge with methodical precision, highly focused on what needs fixing. Unlike empire-building alphas, fixers excel at distilling complexity into simplicity. Sir Christopher Bland demonstrated this when tackling BT's $28 billion debt crisis in 2001, reducing complex problems to a simple to-do list. Demerge the mobile business, sell Yellow Pages, launch a rights issue, and find a new CEO. Fixers rarely win popularity contests. Tim Parker, dubbed the Prince of Darkness by unions, slashed the UK's Automotive Association headcount from 10,000 to 6,700. "I don't love being unpopular," Parker explained. "I love to get a job well done, and I'm willing to be unpopular." His $40 million payday reflected the premium placed on effective fixers. In 1977, Sidney Taurel drove clinic to clinic in Ohio as an Eli Lilly detail man, pitching medications to physicians. This 3-month sales experience proved formative. Within 21 years, the Moroccan-born executive would become CEO of the entire corporation. Procter & Gamble produced an impressive roster of corporate leaders during the 1990s. Their graduate scheme balanced freedom with structure, rotating new hires across brands every 18 months. Young marketers quickly developed comprehensive skills with significant responsibility, some signing million-pound advertising checks in their 20s. The most successful sellers transcend marketing by mastering broader business disciplines, a combination increasingly valuable as companies struggle to connect with social media influence consumers seeking specialized products. Founders share traits with alphas. Power centers on them and professional life blends with personal. Sir Richard Branson's arrival in a Virgin Atlantic lounge creates electricity, with tourists exclaiming and staff swarming. Unlike executives, founders built their empires from scratch, viewing their businesses as babies, nurtured through countless challenges. For many, staff become like family, and business problems follow them home. When 7 colleagues left Patney Computer Systems in 1981 to create Infosys with just $250, they pioneered IT outsourcing but struggled with control. It took over 3 decades before a non-founder led the company. Research confirms this pattern. A Harvard Business Review study found only 50% of founders remained as CEO by a venture's third birthday, dropping to 25% by IPO. Joey Gonzalez, CEO of Barry's Bootcamp, exemplifies the lover archetype. His journey from customer to CEO intertwined his personal life with the brand. Unlike executives who merely appreciate their product, Gonzalez lives the fitness lifestyle his company promotes, teaching classes himself. This authenticity gives lovers natural credibility that inspires both employees and customers. James Daunt revitalized Waterstones through his passion for books. Abandoning investment banking at 25 to open his own bookshop, Daunt made bold decisions like foregoing $27 million in publisher promotional income to rebuild the chain's identity. His success led to his appointment as Barnes & Noble CEO. While alphas love power, lovers love their product or process. Those who wear leadership responsibilities lightly stand out. Lovers have become increasingly important leaders whose genuine connection motivates staff and celebrates brands. Campaigners take this passion further by bringing a change mission into the boardroom. In 2009, Paul Polman joined Unilever with a vision beyond quarterly profits. His sustainable living plan aimed to improve billions of lives, enhance livelihoods throughout Unilever's supply chain, and grow without increasing environmental impact while doubling sales. Some companies are defined entirely by purpose, especially under founder campaigners. Patagonia exemplifies this, donating 1% of sales to environmental causes, closing stores for climate protests, and encouraging repairs over replacements. CEO Rose Marcario worked with founder Yvonne Chouinard to refine the company's mission. We're in business to save our home planet. The less is more philosophy defines human leaders who believe in minimal top-down control. Nick Pearson of Parkrun exemplifies this approach, overseeing 350,000 weekly runners through 35,000 volunteers across 22 countries. With 7 million registered participants but just 43 staff members, Parkrun maximizes impact with minimal overhead for long-term sustainability. Some human leaders maintain deep connections to their organization's core work. Charlie Jacobs, senior partner at Linklaters, reserved half his time for client work after his election. As a Cape Town-born outsider, he connects with colleagues through morning spinning classes and promotes a firm first, practice second, individual third mentality over individual metrics. Despite their collaborative approach, human leaders provide clear direction. Peter Jackson, CEO of Flutter Entertainment, defines his responsibility as setting direction, communicating clearly, and employing the best people while caring for them properly. He emphasizes, great people don't want to be told what to do. No one wants to work for a dictator. Human leaders balance multiple priorities, sustainable profits, well-being, enjoyment, and environmental responsibility. They operate with shareholders in mind while considering workers and suppliers, deriving power from enabling others while remaining inclusive and authentic. Tomorrow's successful leaders will move fluidly between archetypes as situations demand, combining the alpha's decisiveness, fixer's pragmatism, seller's communication skills, founder's vision, lover's passion, campaigner's purpose, and human's empathy. By recognizing our natural tendencies and cultivating complementary skills, we can become more versatile and effective. As we face unprecedented challenges from climate change to technological disruption, adaptability becomes increasingly valuable. Despite constant changes in faces, technologies, and styles, the best leaders will always combine purpose, authenticity, and delivery, inspiring others toward an unknown future while remaining grounded in timeless principles of human connection and shared purpose.